God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in Paul's first letter to the congregation in Corinth, chapter 1, beginning with the 26th verse. This is our first lesson for this morning, second lesson for this morning. You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ, if you are going to watch the Super Bowl this evening, I'm sure you're going to see it plenty of times. Someone is going to make a big play. Maybe it's a sack or an interception or a long touchdown. And they're going to start to celebrate. They'll call attention to themselves. They might do some sort of dance, or they'll pound their chest, or they'll do something else to grab your attention so that you will notice them. Maybe they'll give some bizarre interview after the play to brag and boast about how good they are, and so that everyone will notice what they did and what their team accomplished. It's all too common in our society. People bragging and boasting about who they are and what they have done. But today we see, instead of bragging about ourselves, for we are nothing and we do nothing, we brag about what the Lord has done. For it is the Lord who chose us, and it is the Lord who saves us. Sadly, it's not just professional athletes who like to brag and boast about what they have done. It has become part of our culture in this day and age. Some say it's really no big deal. In fact, they expect you to brag and to boast about what you have done. You're kind of considered weird if you don't. Young kids and high schoolers, they see these idols, or they look after, pound their chest and brag about who they are and what they have done, and they see them put down others, and they begin to imitate them and follow them. High schoolers, young kids, they can be bold and brash and showing off. We might be a little more subtle. Take your Facebook page, for example. It often becomes just a personal bragging page. Rarely do you tell the truth or every truth in your life. You just point out the best things in your life. You brag about this or that, what you did or what you accomplished. If it's not about you, then it's about a loved one. Look at what my son or my husband or my brother did or is able to do. We like others to know just how great we are, about how much we know, about how much we can do, about how successful and prosperous we are. But why do we tend to brag and boast so much about who we are? It's often because we have an inflated sense of self-worth. We have the tendency to think that we are better than we truly are. We like to think of ourselves as cool or popular or as strong and athletic or smart and intelligent, or successful, prosperous. Anyone will be lucky to know you. Anyone will be lucky to be with you, to be by your side, and you are going to let people know. But as important as you think you are, as great as you think you are, as impressed as you are when you think about yourself, the world's not so impressed, especially since you're a Christian. In general, unbelievers look at Christians as a whole as second-class citizens. They see people who are foolish and weak and lowly, and so they despise Christians. Now, you believe in something that is contrary to reason and offensive to good common sense. It goes against what science tells us. Only someone stupid or gullible or ignorant could believe such nonsense. They look upon you as weak and lowly. Take, for example, the words of the pagan philosopher Celsus, who lived in the 2nd century after Christ. He said that Christians show that they want and are able to convince only the foolish, dishonorable, and stupid, and only slaves, women, and little children. Over 1,500 years later, in the mid-19th century, you have the German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, who said the same thing about Christians. He said, "The Christian faith is a favoring of the botched and degenerate, and a despising of the rich, scholarly, noble, healthy, and strong." That's the way many people look at Christianity. As foolish. And Christians as the lowest of the low. Stupid, weak, gullible. They reason to themselves that religion and Christianity, it's only for those who need it. Those who aren't smart enough to figure out that it's clearly wrong. But we who are educated, we who are intelligent, or if you are powerful and healthy, then you don't need such foolishness. You don't need a God. Christianity is for the weak and the stupid. The world isn't impressed with you, and neither is God. Instead of being impressed with you, God sees you how you truly are. A poor, miserable sinner. He sees someone who goes against his will constantly, someone who deserves his wrath and punishment, and someone who is helpless and cannot save himself. There's really nothing that attracted God to you. It's not because of who you are. You weren't born of noble birth. Not many of you are influential or super intelligent. Doesn't matter what you do. You're really not better than everyone else. You have nothing special to offer the Lord. And yet God chose you. He chose you even though He knows who you are. Listen to how the Holy Spirit through Paul refers to you. To all of us. He says you are foolish, weak, lowly, despised, and the things that are not. You're foolish. Not wise, but there are many things that you do not understand. You're weak. Not strong, but incapable of doing many things. You're lowly. Not important. But you fall in line with all the other insignificant people of this world. You're despised. Not loved by the masses, but hated by many people, some who don't even know you. You see the point? Look at who you are. Not who you think you are, but who you truly are. The lowest of the low. The things that are not. You can't brag about yourself or boast about your accomplishments before men because there's always people better and more intelligent than you. You certainly can't brag or boast before the Lord, the Almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing God. There's nothing good about you. There's nothing that's all that impressive. And yet, God chose you. You belong to Him. God chose you from the beginning of the world. He chose you out of His grace. He didn't choose you because of who you would be or what you would do. God chose you because He chose you. He chose you to shame those who think they actually have something to offer. As Paul says, God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. God chose you, weak, lowly, foolish, and despised, because you were weak, lowly, foolish, and despised. He chose you so that you would know that it wasn't because of you that you were chosen, but simply by His grace. The people of the world think they're something special, that they have something special to offer God, that they are a higher class of people than others. God puts them to shame by choosing you. He chose you to be His own. Despite who you were, despite your sins, God chose you to be His own dear child. He chose you, so He brought you to faith through the waters of baptism. He shared the gospel with you. He promises all believers eternal life in heaven. He chose you. He didn't choose the intelligent, the strong, the powerful, the mighty, or the popular. He chose you. And for that reason, we can boast in the Lord and brag about what He has done. But there's another reason that really goes hand in hand with God electing you. God chose you to be saved. God accomplished this by sending His Son, Jesus, to come down to live on this earth. Jesus lived a perfect life in our place, not once going against God's commands. And then, after living a perfect life, He let Himself be nailed to a cross, where He took all our sins upon Himself, became guilty of everything we have done wrong. He suffered, He died. Then 3 days later, He rose from the dead so that we too may have eternal life. Death cannot hold Him down, and death won't hold you down. For on the last day, He will raise all the dead, and all believers will live with Him in heaven forever. It is through faith in Christ that you are saved. God chose you and brought you to faith through the gospel. Through faith, you receive all the blessings Christ won for you. Through faith, worked by the Holy Spirit. As Paul says, it is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. You may not be wise by human standards. Many might consider you stupid or gullible or ignorant. But to God, you are wise. As David says in a few different Psalms, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. True wisdom is not knowing certain facts. It's not knowing how to do something. No, true wisdom is faith in Jesus Christ as your one and only Savior. The world may not consider you wise, but God does. You have wisdom that comes from above, the knowledge of salvation. You are the wisdom of God in Christ Jesus, and so you also have righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Righteousness means to be perfect, to be without sin. That's because Jesus gave you His perfect life. Now, Jesus was without sin, not once going against God's commands. And on that cross, he took our sins upon himself. And he gave us his perfect life. We are now righteous in God's sight. We now enjoy a right relationship with our Lord once again. We are now his children. Connected closely with that word righteousness is the next word, holiness. They both really mean the same thing, to be without sin, to be perfect. Not only did Christ give us his perfect life, but he also took away our sins. He paid for the guilt of all our sins on the cross as he took them upon our shoulders. So he took away what we couldn't have, and he gave us what we needed to have. So as a result, we are declared not guilty before the Lord. That word holiness is often associated with the word saint. Saint means holy one. God considers you a saint. He considers you holy through faith in Christ Jesus. And in Christ finally is redemption. Redemption means to buy back. Christ bought you back through his suffering and death on the cross. He purchased and won you by shedding his innocent blood on the cross. He paid the ransom price for your sins. So he brought you back to God. He reconciled you with your Creator. And you are now at one once again with the Lord. All this is yours. The act of salvation, Christ saving you, is yours through faith. The gospel was shared with you because God chose you to be saved. He chose you not because of who you were or what you would do. He saved you and not because of your contribution. There's no reason for us to boast or to brag about who we are, what we have done. We're weak, lowly, foolish, despised. The world mocks and ridicules you. You weren't influential, born to wealthy and powerful parents. And yet God chose you to be saved. You won't get any credit, but the Lord does. So we follow Paul's example, who quotes Jeremiah, "Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." Let us tell others what Christ has done. Instead of boasting about ourselves and boasting about who we are and what we have done, we tell others about who Christ is and what Christ has done. About how he accomplished our salvation, about how he gives us faith and promises to take us to eternal life in heaven forever. So let's not follow the example of the world. The example of the world who loves to boast and brag about who they are, about what they do. You're weak, you're lowly, you're foolish, and you're despised by the world. Yet God chose you. Chose you to be saved through faith in Christ Jesus. It is through him and through him alone that you are wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So boast about the Lord. Brag about what he has done. For in him you are righteous and holy. In him you have redemption through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.